Greetings, adventurers. I am your dungeon master, Michael DeMorrow, and my pronouns are he, him.
Hi, my name's Nika, and my pronouns are she, her. I play Rourke.
Hey, everybody, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Tim Lanning. My pronouns are he, him. And I play Chuck.
Hey, everyone, I'm Jennifer Sheik. My pronouns are she, her, and I am playing Celine Von Esper.
Hi, my name is Mike Bachman. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Screech Echo.
We start off in an office that's in a castle tower. It's a busy day for Tim Lanning. He's the lead guard for Castle V. Lax. It's northeast of Mindfort. Typical day, typical duties. Tim walks into the office, and there's a big stack of paperwork right there on the desk. It's a whole pile of applications from potential candidates for that new open level 1 guard position. So, Tim, why don't you describe, you know, what your typical day is as your guard position requires, you know, typical day, typical duties.
Right.
What is that like for you?
Well, it sounds like I'm not quite the guy that stands at the gate type guard. If I'm in an office, if I'm able to sit down, if I got papers in front of me, you know, hey, I probably have a slightly rusty breastplate with just an overly expensive like doublet underneath it, with like a mustard stain that I can't see, right? And I'm just all about making sure that I sound busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've probably the past 2 days been like, oh, these candidates I got to get through. You know how it is. And you got to make sure you pick the right one. We don't want to have another Bryce incident where it's like, oh, you know that guy.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy, Bryce. Really got rid of the company hockey beer league or something. I guess I don't think I'd ever play hockey in any universe, but maybe this one. I don't know.
Definitely. And of course, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with ice, has nothing to do hockey sticks or anything.
No, like no. It is cold, but it's different. And it'd be way too boring to get into it here, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's a totally different, like, three arc episode series, I think, just that alone. So
yeah, I want to save it
for sure. All right, well, again, today is the big day, and you can go and sit down and start poring over the paperwork there. In the first application, the name there says Janice Lovetract.
Okay.
It's the typical, you know, BS resume.
Uh-huh.
It looks like this is a starter. There's no experience, but
perfect.
There's a lot of like really written out words and adjectives to sound like there's a lot more experience than really there was.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like they're just wanting to get their foot in the door, but yeah. So
yeah, I mean, what do they want to do being a guard? I need people that can barely do sentences and things like that.
Well, the funny thing is, like, three pages down, there's one that like the name you can't even read it; it's totally illegible, and you know, it looks like they'd spilled coffee all over it and everything. It's like they put half an effort in.
Straight to the top of the list, absolutely. Like that's everything I need. Nothing, and that I can just tell them what to do. Put them on the worst jobs. You know, if there's something in the stack that's like a real sob story, right? Like, oh, my father's sick and I need the gold from this job. I'll do anything. He's like, perfect. I need you out there scrubbing the latrines. I need you to take all my night shifts, things of that nature.
There's one that has like previous work experience. Yes. It's all out there.
Perfect.
On the good stack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyone that feels too upwardly motivated, out. Out of the list.
Excellent. All right. Well, you're making some good progress there, weeding through the garbage, getting in the good stuff. You got your stacks separated. It's getting pretty light now. Speaking of light, there's an actual glimmer that kind of catches in your eye, this kind of light that goes into your eye.
Oh.
And could you give me a perception check?
Gladly. That's a 10.
Okay, 10. Well, that's enough to give you an idea of where it's coming from, and it's definitely something coming from the window. You look over and you see the light kind of coming in, flashing from the window. But then you look back at the desk and the little light glare, it goes and hovers on a piece of paper with some handwriting that is not your own.
So it's gone through the window.
Yes.
And onto the – well, yeah, I mean, I've probably been working a solid 17 minutes, so I need a break. I need something else to take my time, you know, take my mind off of this really, really difficult work.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay, so do you want to take a look at that note that's there on the desk?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's see what that is.
So it says, written to you in spidery type of writing.
Ooh.
Tim Lanning, you have been selected by the Jokester to participate in a contest of skill. If you fail to participate, things will be quite unpleasant. If you comply, the day will fly by. Some questions demand answers. Some answers lead to directions. Answer enough questions and you will receive a wonderful reward.
I look around and I'm like, what the hell? Get up, look at the hallway, see if any of those rascals is playing a darn trick on their number one boss, things of that nature. The guys love me.
Well, it's interesting. Is it when you go to the to go look in the hallway, the door that you're in is locked. It's not opening.
Excuse me? I mean, I try to unlock it. I mean, I jiggle-jangle the handle.
All right. You jiggle-jangle the handle. It's, yeah, nothing happening. I mean, if you want to try a strength check or, you know, I know Tim's, you may have some dexterity. You may have some thievery skills. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Allegedly. I will go back to the piece of paper and just be like, I don't know who you think you are, but I am Tim Lanning, Captain of the Guard. Whatever little tricks you have won't work on me. I'll play your silly game.
All right, you flip the paper over and you see a question with a big old question mark at the end of it.
Okay.
And it says, oh, it's a quick side question before I go into the question. Don't you have a lockpick? Haven't you talked about you had a lockpick set in real life?
I don't, but I've been wanting one. and I hear they're of dubious legality. So I was going to get one and then teach myself how to do it. And I still should.
Yeah, I think you've talked about that before. Anyway,
yeah, because I knew somebody in Boston who knew how to do it.
Wow!
So I was gonna ask them to teach me and all that stuff. But I hear it's like super easy to learn on YouTube. So.
And yeah, I bet you it is. I bet you it is.
Yeah,
that's a free question for the Jokester. All right, cool. All right, so you take a look at this note, and on the flip side of it, like I said, there's a question, and it says.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In your Drunks and Dragons to Greetings Adventurers journey, What storytelling, and this could be technical, process, growths, what we're looking for is growths, can you recognize and share and speak on? Just from the days of old when you started off to now, kind of speak to where you've grown, you know, with anything relating to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I think growth is sometimes hard to measure since it's so gradual, right? So, you know, it's very much a situation of like, oh, I didn't realize my hair was so long. Or then you see an old picture of yourself and there it is. Yeah, I think going back and listen to old episodes, you could tell there was, you know, the same vibe was there for the crew. But nowadays, I think there's like a much more cohesive sort of energy and vibe between all of us. I think for myself personally, you know, like I went through several years of improv and, you know, quote unquote, professional comedianing. That's how you say that. Yeah. I can't really hear myself because I'm all stopped up. So I think going from basically doing what I thought was funny and just, you know, being right a lot, I'd probably say. But then again, going and learning the actual craft of timing and then learning callbacks and really just like, I think for me, what I strive for is like a subtlety. And I'm sure there's people like you subtle. Like, I think to me, the growth that I strive for is on the subtlety side, so that I can feel more comfortable on the bombastic side of things. So it's like the subtlety is the mortar between the bricks. It's like the actual sinews keeping everything together. To me it feels like at some point I was able to kind of clock what Michael wanted from a story perspective. And that is like somewhat of a contentious phrase, I think, because as a player, I think you should just vibe out and do whatever. And even in home games, I still think it's fun to try to figure out what the DM wants you to do. Not in a railroady way, but like, oh, what is this person that's giving up so much of their time doing that would make them have more fun? And sometimes, yeah, that's leading into things they've learned and prepared. And other times it's like, oh, lean into their strengths and things like that. So, you know, I'm pretty hard on myself, all things considered, but there's definitely sometimes growth there. But I think the longer I go, sometimes I think I actually get worse at certain things because it's just like it's like a churning mill of like, okay, is this good? Did I overcorrect here? Did I take a negative comment too much here? Yada yada yada. But you know, it's I think on the whole, it's just like more mature approach without actually mature subject matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And what's interesting is you talked about learning the DM style and using that. And again, not in a railroady way, but I can see where that can be, it can be helpful for driving the story together. And again,
yeah.
And you've always historically been the glue keeping the plot line together the most,
right?
You know, it seems, and so I think that comes into play as well. And you had mentioned early on about old episodes. How do you ever go back and listen to like old stuff? Any of the old eps?
I have in the past. Every now and again, I'll get the itch, but you know, I mean, there's a million books I haven't read that are on my list. You know, there's a million video games I haven't read. I mean, really, I should. Like, part of me, after Michael started listening to the episodes before while streaming on his personal YouTube, before we streamed the channel, I was like, oh, that's so fun. And then, like, I did it one time to see what it felt like, and it was really fun.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fun interacting.
Yeah. Like, what if I just started from the beginning and like played something like a Stardew Valley or whatever and had to play in the background? Like, I've done it as a joke before whenever I stream, and I don't stream a lot anymore, unfortunately. But yeah, I think it's weird to hear my voice because I sound younger for sure and like more nasally. Because I've always been told I have a fairly unique voice. And it's in, you know, slightly in the Muppet register and things of that nature. So I was never really able to do prank phone calls and things like that. So it's definitely interesting going back and listening there. And for the past like 4 months, I've been having like allergies and congestion. And, you know, I say that now as I've been sick for a week and a half, and I'm keep being like, my voice does not sound right. I'm sure I sound like shit on my various podcasts. If you listen to all of them, it's like a man falling apart, but it's just my allergies have been really, really bad. And, you know, it's like, it sucks.
Yeah, it's barely noticeable.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. But I think there's, you can sometimes hear me trying to do something a little too hard, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, the funny thing, when we did the Foaming Tankard plug, patreon.com/D&D podcast, and you had me and Jennifer go and re-record the Harper throwing the apple.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, and I brought it up somewhere, right, recently, that I've always said that was like my most regretted action. And then Mr. Red did it as a joke where he did like a time travel thing to let me, Tim Lanning, playing as Brip Rap, stop that from ever happening.
Yep.
And we did it. It was fun. And then a couple months later, as you're editing it, David, you had me and Jennifer sit down and listen to that and then re-record lines based on this new fractured timeline.
That's right.
And I listened to it with Jennifer and I'm like, that was funny.
That's right.
I don't regret shit. I don't regret ever regretting that. So, you know,
No. it was a memory of how it went in your head.
Yep.
Skewed. Yep. In reality, no, it worked out well. It was hilarious.
I goddamn guarantee you someone's probably said something online and I let it fester, right? Like, you know, that's probably another way I've grown, is just kind of like given less of a shit about things.
Yeah.
On that end of the spectrum. And I never really did, but I did let it affect me in the sense of like, I when I said I got worse, you'll hear me on the show sometimes like correcting things that don't need to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And then even other times you'll hear me on the show be like, I'm so sorry, my brain is broken and it's your fault. You know, it's like you missed D4 of damage 3 years later out of context. It like in my brain, I'm saying I'm doing this to make it better. But as soon as it like goes out of my mouth, like on the stream, sometimes you can even see me like catch it, like put my hands over my face because I just can't help it sometimes because it's like a fear response. But the point I'm trying to make is I don't let it affect me as much, but I think I'm healing and growing based on this sort of like, you know, we weren't professional creators.
Yes.
When we started, we all did our various creative things even before Cast of Thrones, right? Like we all had various stuff. Like we were all writers to some extent. You know, mm-hmm, Bachman, mm-hmm, did stand up, and then you know, Michael and I and Bachman were trying to be video game journalists, and Jennifer was going to be like a capital T theological professor. So she was like, that's not really content creation, of course, because it's meaningful. So we all had like that background, but still none of us had done this per se, right? It was like Michael had a podcast because he thought he had to.
Yeah.
And while it was fun to do the Thrifty Nerd cast shout out, you know, you could tell it was just like, oh, this is something that we're doing. We don't really bring professionalism to it. So there was like a lot of things we had to learn. And I always liken it to a bone breaking and setting the wrong way.
Yeah.
But while that's an extremely negative analogy, I've always said that that's our competitive advantage, right? Like if we ever fixed those quote unquote things, I think we would lose something. And I'm sure some people think that we've done that because especially the name change, right? But – and that's what I hope people realize is that like we're still the core of us. We're just older.
Yeah, yeah. I mean I remember getting – you know, what? You're doing ads now? What
yeah.
the heck? You
know, oh, yeah,
that,
dude.
That happened.
Yeah.
And yeah. But no, no, you still are the core. And it is the lack of professionalism, learning as you went. And again, everything is getting more and more polished and nicer, but the core is still there. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and again, like you've said this many times, even on the shows, this is a podcast. The show is about people playing D&D. It's not it's not a D&D real play podcast. It's about the people playing D&D, you know, and the real play stuff happens. Just happens.
Yeah, so. exactly. Like I want to focus on what we do the best, and that's been what we've been the best at since Cast of Thrones, is making you feel like you're sitting at a table with your buds, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So like while I have a ton of respect for the more production focused actual plays, we are the opposite, right? Like, you know, we put the personality first in the story second. But, you know, I think the secret is you still have to make sure the story is good.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a tough line to walk, especially because there are people that just want zany dick joke, no meaningfulness. And, that's still frustrating to me because there's so many people that just don't get it. And I get so mad, but like not like the, you know how I said I don't let it bother me before? I get like righteous indignation sort of situation of like, why can't they see it? Like not like, like I use the term mad at the situation a lot as opposed to like mad at a person, because it's not like any one person, but there's just so many times it's like you do not see the like binding agents in play here.
So
I think it's because I'm so fascinated by stories and the creation therein that whenever I hear someone with just like a wet fart, low tier steak, unlike anything, my brain goes buzz mode.
Yeah.
It's something I'm working on for sure. But, you know, it's not a huge deal really.
Whatever you do, whatever equipment, whatever lighting, the heart of it is going to be what the subject is. And in this case, it's two things. It's going to be story based as the second, but the number one thing is what you were just talking about. And it's the people, it's you guys doing it. So that is cool.
Yeah. I've always,
oh guess what? What just happened?
What?
A glass shatter. You hear it, and a key comes pouring in from the window and crashes at your feet.
Guess that was satisfactory enough. Not that there's any doubt. And I go over, pick that damn thing up, and give it a toss, and then catch it, and then go to unlock the door from the inside?
Yeah, from the inside, which is weird. Why'd you install bolt locks that way? Dude,
I've seen those.
Yeah, I have too. But very important, you flipped the key up and you caught it. Give me a quick dexterity.
Christ. After I said that, I was like,
oh, acrobatics. You can do acrobatics. That'll work.
Oh, okay. No, So I rolled a 6 on the die. What are you going to give me? I doubt we're going to get close to a 12. I'll tell you that right now. There's no way I'm plus 6 in anything. I doubt we're getting to 9.
You got yourself an 8.5 for some reason on this scale. So
perfect. That and I am so thankful for you giving me that much.
Yeah, yeah. And you juggled it a few times. It fell to the floor, but you picked it up and no one saw. So
yeah, I look around and I'm about to do that.
All right. So you open the door and peering out into the hallway. It just is a circular staircase going down since you're up in a tower.
Uh-huh.
Everything seems normal. You hear some distant footsteps like running away down the stairs.
Gotcha. I goes against every sort of bone in my current bureaucratic body, but I guess I go towards it because, hey, this is just interesting enough, and I'm so bored with that very difficult work that I was doing for 15 minutes. I need a break bad.
All right. Well, you start heading down the circular staircase, and you make it down into the main part of the castle. And opening the door, let's just say you go into like a great, we'll call it a great like dining area for some reason. Off of you got a side entrance into that dining area, and you'll notice that there's a nice set of delicious looking food, all your favorite types of food sitting there on the table, and there's no one around, and it's just inviting, wafting you. And I need you to give me a will save, please.
Oh, damn, going 4E, natural one, brother.
Natural one. Oh yeah, there's nothing you can do. You're going straight over.
Hell yeah, good. I would have lied if I didn't get a natural one, but I did.
That's right. All right, you get right over there, sit down, and start digging in. There's this big old turkey, and you're just eating away, and suddenly something's in your mouth, and you pull out this paper.
Oh, come on now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
In the paper, it says, "The food you've eaten is poisoned." There are three glasses with liquids in front of you. Only one of them will actually get rid of the poison. Can you explain your various preparation methods for when you're going to record Gapcast episodes? So, like, when you are getting ready to do your recording session, how much preparation? Is it just straight up improv? Are you, you know, doing some like, you know, a little rehearsal to yourself at times? Do you do any sort of, you know, any sort of prep work or anything, you know? And this may vary throughout years. And based on what's happening plot-wise and all, you know?
Yeah, I do basic vocal warm-up things. I have a bit of a mush mouth mumbly situation. So, you know, and as I've said for the past several months, the allergies and so forth have been bad.
Yeah,
so, geez. You know, a lot of like, so if it's bad enough, I'll do like nose spray, flap my lips with like a situation, which I'm, doubt you heard through Zoom. I don't really know, but things like that. And Jennifer will like come downstairs, like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "Well, I'm just warming up, you know, so that I can
elongate enunciation
exactly." So it's like, you know, small vocal exercises like that. I don't really do anything else. I think broadly speaking, I try to like quote unquote center myself before, but the most important thing. In my mind, is getting on the Zoom call on time so that we can shoot the shit, and that's our warm up. You know, it's funny. Like whenever we have like actual business to do, and, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. It's very important that we vamp before we go live on Twitch, but sometimes like, please, we have to figure this out. Let's focus. So to me, like personally, I do small things and then kind of keep that beginning time sacred. Of course, it's not sacred, but like in my mind, it's very important.
Do you ever have to take a look at any notes or anything on what's going on? Just to remember to bring things up, or
no, I don't. I probably should. I've done it before, right? And if there was something,
the previous on stuff probably helps a little too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So in the past, if I knew, especially when I got higher levels with Toby, I would research.
Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah, like I would research how, like, I mean, outside of it, like preparation outside, I do a ton, but I do mostly consider that existing. Like I steep myself in tabletop RPGs, you know, read a lot of Reddit threads, buy a lot of books. I used to read those books. Now I'm more in the buy and then put them on the shelf. Like, well, what if someone wants to DM me on this, right? That I don't want to. But, you know, like when I go to bed to stop the terrors and the bad thoughts, I'll just like create new characters and I'll like think of like drilling down on a specific archetype and like, okay, how can I make this archetype different or like unique, or how can I make it as tropey and boring as possible while still being fun, like as oxymoronic as that sounds, right? Like something like that. So, you know, I that's how I've always approached things, is like I'm pretty lazy. So I'm like, if I just spread it out and make it part of my general vibe of like, go on Reddit, go on Twitter, get mad, you know, look at the YouTube, things of that nature. Like I used to read a lot of DM's Guild stuff, but I accidentally bought too many charity bundles, which are like $40 and you get 800 fucking things. So now I go, my DM's Guild library is like useless because there's so much in there and I have no idea what is good or not. So like if there's anything that pops out of my brain, then I will go in and rip it out and start reading it. And that was more for like DMing, right? But like there's still a lot of really fun stuff. Like before I made Chuck, like I've been working on Chuck for like fucking, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years.
Wow, yeah.
Because
I remember you talking about,
right,
it, but a long time ago. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, because wow. I'm trying to think about it. Like I remember having a quote unquote meeting at the Atlanta live show and we were in the Airbnb. And I was like, all right, guys, I know we're getting towards the end. It's 2019, I think. And here's what I want to do. You know, here's my vibe. I either want to be an orc or something like that. And I want to be big and I want to be support. Ideally, I don't take a single action. All you do, I make you guys better. I get out of the way. You know, I heal if I need to, but more I buff you when I need to. Because what I wanted is I wanted to play a fourth edition warden or warlord, excuse me, a warlord badly. That's always been my white whale is figuring out a fifth edition warlord, but the action economy just doesn't work. It's either way too broken or it doesn't do anything. And you know, battle master fighter has a little bit of it, but again, action economy mumbo jumbo is weird. So, you know, but like we're talking just sort of putting a planting a seed of an idea and just kind of like rolling it around in your mouth, right? I'm not talking build the character sheet and then like, all right, let's get deep. Like, no, it's like put the seed there, let it just vibe. And to me, that is working. And that, and I know how my procrastination and things of that nature hinder me. So I know it's like, all right, start early. Never let it feel like it's a big deal. And just kind of let it vibe with you in your brain.
When in that process did the Rourke Chuck relationship come in?
So at one point, towards the end of campaign one, I brought up, you know, it's that classic thing, you know, you do it for one shot, you do it for whatever, like, do we know each other? And I must have been inspired by something, I'm sure. I don't remember what, but, you know, I was like, oh, like what if one of us are literally related? And then since I was building this kind of like himbo already, right? He was always supposed to be like a big guy. like I with some patrons, I played a Lost Mines of Phandelver campaign where I believe I played a College of Swords bard to try to figure it out to see if I can make that work. And like that was fun, but you could tell that, like, especially early levels, like this guy does not work. So, you know, I think I was like, okay, what if one of us literally related, you know, and like really just bounced off each other and used that as such a fun stepping stone. And I didn't really want it to be, you know, us married or anything like that. And since I was, like I said, playing an older guy in my brain, it's like, well, you can be my daughter. And that's where we kind of went from there. And then I was like, what if it, like, I forget who came up with the first, but I thought it would be really fun if, like, she's my adopted daughter. Because actually, here's what it was. I didn't want to force Nika to do anything. So in my mind, I built Chuck's backstory to be flexible, right? So I was like, here's all the thing is, something happened. You're with me now. You're not my biological daughter. And as we sort of shot the shit about it, you know, and as I was falling asleep at the final, you know, while like thinking about it, right, it kind of built into this thing of like, okay, we are obviously a duo, but we're completely different. And what are the ways that we can have this make the most sense, right? It's like, well, he never wanted to be a dad. He's not her dad. He's been on the run. There's a reason why he quote unquote stole her to protect her. And then as we went through it, it was like, well, if this is true, what else is true? How did I get out of the army? What did this mean? And, you know, I kind of forget the timeline of when Michael told us the vague vibe of what he was going for. Like, we obviously knew. Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't know the time period, and it was kind of a point of contention of like, you know, do we go clean slate or do we, you know, use some of the stuff we did before?
It was hilarious when Ratma disclosed that she dated Doug the Dark Elf, and you're like, wait, yeah.
Wait a minute, what's up?
Your reaction to that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because like, White Spires being derelict, that can mean anything. Now we have a dartboard of a couple hundred years this way or that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't want to like force Nika to do anything. So it was like, I'll be support. You try to fit in here and then whatever you think is fun from there. And since I'm out of all of us, I'm the one that thinks about their backstory the most because I'm obsessive about it. Not like in a complimentary towards me way, but in like, oh, I just don't stop. So, you know, like sending Michael's paragraphs of paragraphs of paragraphs and like asking, because he gave us some charts and some maps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, it'll do this. And I knew about the Mage Wars. Like, okay, so it's probably this. And I was reading a Joe Abercrombie book of his second trilogy. So it was either like A Little Hatred, A Trouble with Peace, or The Wisdom of Crows. And there's this dude, I forget his name, but he comes back from the war and he has severe PTSD. And he has these knuckle tattoos, and the knuckle tattoos basically shows anyone that he was one of the dudes that was on the ladder crews. And so when they see this big guy coming with these knuckle tattoos, they're like, oh, fuck. So I kind of stole that vibe of like, oh, he was, what if Chuck was some sort of elite, not like elite, like a Navy SEAL, but like something like that, right? Where it's like, oh, was he the first on the ramparts type deal? Was he a part of like a mage killing squad or something like that? And that's what like his tattoos mean. And I haven't really nailed down exactly what they mean, because I think it's more fun to come up with the vibe and then leave the leave space for the story to grow into.
Nice. All right. Well, at that point, two of the glasses in front of you just shatter.
Hell yeah, perfect as always.
And there's one glass that remains.
I take a big old gulpy. Yum, yum, yum.
All right. And you can feel whatever this quote unquote poison is just kind of seeping out of you.
Perfect.
And at the bottom of the glass, you notice it says, how do you plan for or incorporate like inserting current pop culture things or just things you're into at the moment? Like, are you doing like just straight up planned things, or is it just straight up improvised?
I think the best way to describe it is it's impossible for me to not, right? Like, if you've listened to any of the programs for long enough, like, Jennifer and I have had to, like, apologize for when we've listened to too much Comedy Bang Bang right now, or, oh God, once I started listening to Hollywood Handbook, man, that fucking changed the way I talk 110%. You know, like, it's so funny, like, so many of our episodes have to be crazy dated of just like, oh, that was popular then, they make jokes about that.
Yes.
And we never really shied away from it, which I think you're supposed to, right? Because you want it to be able to last longer. I was watching a magic stream the other day. He's like, don't do that. Don't time it. Don't say when this is. So it's like, yeah, I mean, God, I should plan to not do it. But if anything, I think it's fun, but, you know, it kind of goes back to the our faults are our strengths type aspect of it, right?
Like, yeah. Well, I know sometimes, you know, as the editor, sometimes if it gets like on multiple tangents away, you know, I'll trim it out.
Yeah.
But I think it's a beneficial more to the live audience for sure. But again, it is nice to hear some callbacks to things at the time.
You know? I think it's a lot of like making sure you avoid things that feel very fun and good right now because of whatever.
Sure.
And then being like, and then like 6 weeks down the road, like, what the fuck was I doing? Why is there a big worm here? Why is there sand and shit like that? You know, it's picking your battles in to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. So, all right. So at that point, the glass where it had the question just kind of fades away, and it says below that you see some like sediment from whatever was in the bottom. This glass is pretty damn dirty.
Damn it!
But it says drawbridge on it.
Drawbridge. I'm sure I know exactly where this is. I take some sort of custardy pie situation, right? And as a little roadie, as I walk out towards the drawbridge.
All right, you got yourself some pie, mm-hmm. custardy pie, mm-hmm. munching it's, away.
And this is real food. This isn't like a Lost Boys situation, or
no, it's all good stuff.
Is this food poison? Did I fuck up?
No. This one here, I specifically had a note on it. It said not poisoned. So you're good there.
Cool.
So, all right, you work your way out, and you're walking across the drawbridge, and you go ahead and give me another perception check.
Gladly.
As the birds are chirping away.
Ooh, baby. Natural 20.
Heck yeah. All right. Yeah, you see it without any question in your mind. In the middle of the drawbridge across this big old moat, you see a dagger sticking in the wood and just kind of there on the left-hand side.
Are there any guards here?
No, it's strangely empty.
Like, this is so I must be dreaming again.
Maybe this is why you're hiring.
Yeah, exactly. this is going to reflect badly on me.
Maybe we should station someone at that front position, you know. No, we wait till we fill it, you know. We'll let those guys in the back do their job, you know.
I'm on patrol. That's why there's no one here. I'm here. Duh. I scoop up the dagger.
All right. And on the dagger... it has a bunch of like tiny writing, and you can scrawl and turn and look
Sick.
At it. It says, Tim, you are quite skilled at humor.
Thank you, Mr. Dagger.
Yeah, you throw a lot of jokes out. There's so many more jokes that land than not. Has this always been the case since you were young? You know, have you always been, you know, a built-in comedian or?
Yeah, I think since. Since high school, at least, right? Blessed to live in the age when occasionally HBO would be free on cable, and to exist when Comedy Central kind of started getting big. So I watched a ton of stand-up, right? Like Tim Allen and Sinbad, and those were like, I remember like watching a lot of Sinbad. As a kid, like, and it's just so funny. And like, I kind of always had Like, I think looking back on it now, I was thinking about this the other day of, because I think I saw someone not be funny. And I was like, why is that? Why? And I think it's because I had a hard time. I don't understand jokes until I understand them, right? Like, I can get A to B to C, mm-hmm. but if I don't know the intent of the joke and I don't know, like, I can see a path of why it's funny, but if I don't know that, if that's what you're making, I'm not able to laugh, right? But I can see the punchline because you said it. But if I don't know the sort of like intent and everything, I have to kind of like stare at you and stop. I think because I was probably subconsciously dissecting what they were saying and, you know, delivery and how they were doing it and things of that nature. Like, my mom was always a funny person, and she always, you know, wanted to do acting and things like that. And you know, seeing my dad, like at church and other functions, he was always very boisterous and very, very personable. So I definitely inherited that from them. You know, I definitely had a good basis, but because my kind of slight neurodivergent cocktail of brain needed to kind of break things apart, then, you know, I didn't know I was doing it. Like, I remember in high school, one of my buddies was like, how do you do that? How do you come up with something so fast and so quick and whatever? And I go, oh, I have a notebook at home where I write it down and then I have like prompts or whatever. And he goes, oh, wow. And then like 6 weeks later, he's visiting me at my house. He's like, where's the notebook? I'm like, huh? That was a joke. Right? I don't have a notebook. Why would I ever do that?
That notebook came from the notebook.
Yeah. We're in a notebook inception situation here. So I think there's like a, you know, the classic sort of pudgy kid with divorced parents, youngest, things of that nature thrown in there, going to a small school where no one was really a bully per se, and you know, there was definitely tears, but it wasn't that big of a deal. We were all pretty like fine with each other. It was like an easy place to grow, as opposed to, like, you know, you hear so many other people of like, oh, I was gonna get my ass kicked, so I made a joke. No, it wasn't anything like that. But and I think part of it was like, I was so quiet at home that when I got to these other places, it was like, oh, time to live and be free and, you know, make folly and things of that nature, like push joy forth through my heart.
That's cool. You had mentioned talking about your mother wanting to do, you know, acting and things like that. And I think you'd mentioned in the past about her doing commercials or a commercial. And, you know, what's she like? has she done other commercials, or yeah, has she been supportive of you and your creative pursuits?
She's extremely my mother, right? If you ever meet her, you'll see what I mean. And it's always really cute whenever I post something from a creative whatever. She always comments like on the Instagram or Facebook, like, that's my son, just remember where you get it from.
Nice.
Things like that. And I'm always like, Mom, you know, playing it up because I think it's funny and I want people to, you know, see it. Like, she deserves some credit for sure. She's done several infomercials, and she's done several infomercially type gigs where, like, hey, you're a training at a hospital.
Okay.
My mom might be in it. Or maybe it's like, you're being, this is what you need to know while staying at a place. My mom might be in it. She's done a lot of like crowd work and movies and things like that.
Extra stuff.
Yeah. Not like a ton, but her biggest deal was she was the stand-in for the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond in a Tyler Perry movie. So she's the one that dressed up like her as they set the lights and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So she got to hang out with Tyler Perry and everybody's like, oh, of course, they loved me, da-da-da-da-da. You know, she always talks kind of like a mile a minute and flips like subject matter. And whenever she's talking about whatever person, it's like, oh, they loved me, they just thought it was the best, and not to toot my own horn, but you know, they're right type situation.
That's cool.
So she's always been, was really funny, but I don't know how to find any of that stuff anymore. I could probably Google it and see if let me see like real quick if I think she put some of it on YouTube. But...
Well, it's funny because I know you had talked about the hose one. Before, and I know I had seen that before.
Okay, I found it. Yeah, if you just Google my mom's name, Debbie Lanning.
Cool.
Yeah. This one is for some, it's about buying a house and like some sort of fund thingy.
Oh,
it's
nice.
For like the fund. And we kind of made fun of her a lot for it because she makes like this kind of like face in it. But yeah, if you just, it's a, I just looked up Debbie Lanning and she's there. I don't know if there's anything else nice. That she's done, but those are the top two hits, at least for me and my page.
Nice.
That's the easiest ones to find. I don't know. And it's weird because I use like her actual story and it's a lie, but she's good at that, right? She's always was really good at like playing up real world truths and like always having a sob story, but like in a dramatic way, not in a, oh, you have to feel bad for me and do this. Give me your scrap. She's like, no, you know, she always, no matter what it was, like we always joked, like if she was in the audience of like a knife infomercial, she would make it say how these, the thesis would be these knives saved my life or these lives. Like wow. It was a dark place and these knives absolutely, you know, turned it all around. You're right. So she's always been really good at that. It's so funny. She's so dramatic.
Yeah. How about your dad? Has he,
No,
totally opposite.
No, I mean, I assume he's been in the background and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Okay. At like church plays and things like that. But no, that wasn't really his deal. But you know, like when you look back on it, I definitely see the way he was much better in social situations. Like, cause he's a short guy. He's a squinch shorter than me. And he was a fireman. So he, you know, had to be around people for 24 hours straight, and then 2 days off, 24 hours straight. So, and then with the church and everything like that. So it's like, he's very gregarious. Like just, I have like just him like grabbing someone's shoulder and just like busting up laughing and things like that. So,
yeah,
you know, okay. Which I think is definitely a skill. And then looking back on it, you realize how much of a skill it is because so many folks don't have it.
That is cool. I imagine just the different character types of them helped shape you in some way, shape, or form as well, too.
So. Yeah.
Alrighty. So the dagger, you know, that's all that's written on there. And
okay.
The writing, as you're holding it, the writing just kind of dissolves and is gone. And, you know, so you've got yourself a nice little dagger there. 1d4 damage. So.
Hell yeah. I'll add it to my inventory right here.
And at this point, the drawbridge that you're actually standing on just starts to lift really fast.
Oh, I don't like that.
You definitely don't like that. So I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? You're kind of midway there. You're either going to go flying, you know, up and like fall down into the inner part of the drawbridge and the castle side, or you can try to run and kind of leap out and get to safety on the other side.
I'm gonna huddle scurried towards the castle side if I freaking can.
All right, so go ahead and give me an athletics roll, please.
You got it. Oh, 5 on the die if I get my lucky 2.5.
Yeah, yep, 5 on the die, so that'd be 7.5. So, yeah, you go and kind of like you trip on some, your shoelaces untied, and you go falling on your belly, and you just kind of go tumbling down, rolling as the thing shuts.
My damn ass is out.
Yeah, your ass is out.
Damn it.
You're landing. What's interesting is this is kind of like an OK Go music video, because you're landing on the ground, and you're looking up at the drawbridge there is like beside you going straight up.
Uh-huh.
And you couldn't see this the when you were walking out because of the way you were standing. Yeah. But looking at it now, you see in perfect writing from your perspective, the artist really did a really good job. It just says, what's it like working in the same room and the same microphone with your wife, Jennifer?
It's fun. I love it. I think I'm very, very lucky for a thousand different reasons, right? Like that one, we're able to do it at all, like physically with the space and everything like that. I mean, we had a small ass apartment at first in Boston and we made it work. And now here we are in St. Louis, 13 years later or whatever. And just to be able to have like, I mean, my office here is not as big as my one in Boston, but the house obviously is much bigger than our shitty apartment in Boston. So, you know, just have space to be away from each other so that when we come together, it's not feeling like it's a cramped scenario. You know, just that's on the physical side of things. And of course, on the side of the fact that we can just make it work with the back and forth and the energy. There's so many couples I see online that don't seem to like each other or, you know, talk, or I think their jokes are funny, but Jennifer and I always gas each other up, right?
Yes, like, yes.
I've definitely thought about it and, you know, kind of gone back and forth on the idea of setting up a second recording space here because we have the space to do it. But I think we would lose a lot if we weren't right next to each other, because there's like that physical in-person energy.
You both do a good job letting the other one speak. Say if both of you start and saying something, one of you will quickly stop and let the other person continue that way. Because yeah. As you know, if both people are talking rah, 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 at the same time going on and on, it's unusable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think after recording Tribulation Farce so much, where it's like, all right, we're on the same track. If we fuck up something, right? Like if I make a weird noise when she's reading something, then I have to leave that weird noise in, or I have to see if I can is there a scientific way to chop off this word so your brain doesn't hear the edit, which is always super weird. And sometimes I'll send David messages about like little tiny editing things, but sometimes I just want to like send you a message of like, does this sound human? Like, because there's so many times you just like when you're editing something and you have to cut out something and it's like, oh, people can tell. And then you're listening to like a minute long unedited bit. It's like, oh no, that sort of sound happens all the time, right? Like, so you just have to get it out of your brain. But because of that, right, I am the one who has more experience in that field. So I'm like, ah, okay, I need to have my foot on the gas and the brake and things like that. And I do think that it causes situations where Jennifer and I are fighting over each other a little bit. And there's this vibe of I've talked about it before, but there's this improv game where you all stand in a circle and then one person jumps in the middle of the circle and they sing a part of a popular song. And the point of the exercise is it feels bad sometimes to cut someone off, but cutting someone off at the right point is such a blessing. And it would literally be like your coaches, as they're no longer remembering the words to, you know, whatever Beatles song, and they're just starting to mumble. You have to get in there and save them, right? So it's always something that I've been pro about, is like, you not only share space, but take it, because it helps. We've done it the right way, right? It's obviously I've been on shows, and I'm sure I've been the cause of when it's not perfect, and you can tell. You know, like I've definitely guessed it on shows where it's like, oh, this guy thinks he is funny. Okay, I get this. I get this. This is why a lot of times when I guest on shows, I like try to be kind of normal, because I was like, I'm just gonna be here. Like, so often when people listen to like the guest, like, oh, who's this motherfucker? And it's like, hey, I want you to remember me, but I don't want you to hate me. So I'm sure I miss out on plenty of bombastic, wonderful performances or something like that. But there's something so important about sharing that space and giving it up, and you do sort of build upon each other, right? Of like, your energy keeps going up and up and up and up. And it's like I've said before, like, you know, the weakness is the positive, right? It's like, fucks up our audio track sometimes. Our audio is never going to be as good as any of the other people's, because, you know, it's the type of microphones that we're able to use either have to be so sensitive that we'd have perfect mic control because we'd be right next to each other. And I've seen other people do it and they've explained how they do it. And I'm like, that blows my fucking mind. Or it has to be decent enough that me and her could be about a foot away from it, vaguely talking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it works out well. And I think every time you are all learning and growing and getting better and better at it. So it's never been an issue on the editing side of it. It's never been an issue. And like I said, if there's a part where it's like too much and you can't tell what's going on, it's easy to trim it, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's one reason why I think that if you're in a podcast, it's like you should listen to it. And it's absolutely a benefit to have to edit yourself. Right. Like I sometimes feel bad about it's a silly thing to feel bad about. Right. But I have more reps hearing myself. You're like, God damn. And so I can hear myself get better at certain things.
Yes.
And well, they don't hear it and they don't cringe at themselves when, not just Jennifer, just all the other, cause I've edited more than just Tribulation Forest. I've edited a lot of other stuff. It's such a painful, for me at least, process, but it's so important, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you're exactly right. And I wish others did at least experience a little bit. It's eye opening.
Yeah.
And anytime I've guested with you guys or run a show, an episode with you, when I'm editing, I'm cussing myself out because I'm trimming most of my audio,
right?
Because I see exactly it. It's like, oh, that's a dumb joke. Yeah. Oh, why did I say that? That's stupid. Cut. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like your brain is like, oh, well, the editor, if one of the editors, if they're on the podcast, they're going to make themselves sound the best. It's like, no, what they're probably doing is getting self-conscious and overcutting themselves and then really gassing up everyone else. I'm sure there's the opposite to that for sure. But it's why I like that you're a mostly neutral second party to the situation, right?
That's right. All right. Well, the drawbridge lowers down back to its original state, and you see a golden chalice there on the other side of the moat, beckoning, calling to you.
Oh, hell yeah. I kind of strut my way over there and make sure some people can see me, even though, yes, a minute ago I had an embarrassing situation, but that doesn't matter because I'm about to claim a golden chalice.
All right, you pick up the golden chalice, and written on the golden chalice is, this is a participation award.
Yes.
For Jokester's Tricky Playtime to Tim Lanning, and it's misspelled.
Yeah, that happens.
Congratulations.
That checks out with our history. Yeah, that makes sense.
And you hear a laughing in the distance as some little jokester goes running away off into the woods.
Is there any way I can interpret the laughing as complimentary at all? Or even if I'm lying to myself? No, fuck. That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
And so I guess give us what does it look like as the scene is fading away? With Tim Lanning and his chalice.
I would probably kind of hold it to my breastplate in a way of honor, kind of slightly catty corner so that you can't quite tell that my name is misspelled, maybe the way I'm holding it. And I'm obviously taking the longer way back to my office to complete the very important work that I need to do. Make sure if I can see anyone else, I don't pull exact attention to it, but I make sure people see it.
Nice. Excellent. The end.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.